So the title of this video is The Political and the Spiritual Realities of Immigration. So immigration is a pretty popular topic nowadays because it's something that is, you know, pervasive in the sense that it's very prevalent in the United States and in Europe. We see a lot, millions, in the past couple decades of immigrants from other nations coming into the United States. We see a ton of immigrants from Central America, South America. I see many immigrants from Africa, from Europe, where I am. I mean, right now I'm at a park in Paterson, New Jersey. You know, I pulled in. Basically, what I saw was probably was too large. What looked like Palestinian families. They have a similar look to the Palestinian people that I meet around here, or they're from some other country in the Middle East. Well, you know, that's a pretty normal sight. That's not unusual for me here in North Jersey. And there's no question that immigration is a big topic, and the face of our nation is changing because of it. Millions of immigrants have come here to the point where when I go out into the world, especially in certain cities, I'm way more likely to interact with an immigrant from any number of countries than with a homeborn citizen in the United States. And the bottom line is this: mass immigration often causes a lot of problems for nations. It often leads to war and the destabilization of nations. And it's no question that people in the United States who are vying for power have an interest in having open border policies for their political purposes. And I believe that a nation has every right to establish borders and border security and immigration laws. I mean, what makes a nation is the people, and they're generally within borders. God instituted human government in different nations, and he instituted different nations. So God, it's not his will to have some monolithic one world government system. And when you see mankind trying to work towards such a system in the Bible, God thwarts it and separates the nations because he does not want a one world system. So God wants separate nations. Nevertheless, immigration is an issue that our country is facing. Many, many immigrants come into our country. And I think it's much more important to emphasize the spiritual reality over the political reality of immigration. So does the United States have a right to establish borders? Yes. And the Bible talks about God enlarging your borders. God is the one who basically allows nations to exist, and he helps establish their borders, and he allows the face of the nation to change. Well, you know, as much as I believe that we should obey the law of the land, I don't believe we should illegally enter into any country against its laws, because I believe we should obey the laws of that land. But the bottom line is, when it comes to my country here in America, these immigrants are already here. And the Bible also calls me an immigrant. It calls me a stranger. So the Bible says that I should be empathizing and sympathizing with strangers and foreigners. And I think that many Christians and conservatives miss this fact, and they overlook it because of their zeal for their political stance on immigration. Now, my political stance on immigration, it's more conservative than the left, and probably a little less conservative than Donald Trump. I believe we have the right to establish borders and border security. I would like the right people to come here. I don't want the wrong people to come here. I don't want criminals and people like that coming here. And if a nation decides that they can't figure out what that is, it's just too much of a laborious task to be vetting all these people, I believe they have a right to cut off their borders completely. The bottom line is, the United States has not done that, and we have an open border policy. But even though we have like these open borders, the Bible still says, it says, "Thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing that ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." So the Bible compares Christians to strangers or immigrants or foreigners, because we are basically citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem, who are just sojourning among the world's people. And so we're in a sense strangers. The Bible says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Again, Peter's calling us strangers and pilgrims. The Bible also says, it says, these all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. So the Bible says we should come to a point, you know, if we are walking like the people in Hebrews 11 did in the hall of faith, they came to a point where they said, you know what, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. And that's, if that's our attitude, we should be able to empathize with the stranger and the immigrant among us. Because here's the thing. The Bible says, thou shalt not oppress a stranger. And the Bible says, one law shall be to the homeborn as to the stranger that sojourneth among you. So the Bible says one law, one for the homeborn person, citizen, and but the same law for the stranger. That's why I'll never agree with you when you start, flapping your gums about why immigrants don't have any rights here in America. They don't deserve rights, and they don't have a First Amendment. They don't have a Second Amendment or Fourth or Fifth Amendment because they're illegal. Okay, well, here's the thing about the Constitution. It was written basically discovering or bringing to light or recognizing natural born rights that we have from God. So you don't enjoy the U.S. Constitution because you're an American citizen. It's such a great philosophy. No, the theory is that these are natural born rights to all mankind. Therefore, you should have no problem seeing an immigrant or, you know, a stranger, whether he has papers or not, enjoy the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth and Fifth Amendment, the whole Constitution, the whole Bill of Rights. Because one law to the stranger and to him that sojourns among you. And look, there's no question, if you look at history, that mass immigration, it can lead to war. It leads to unrest. You have you have the homeborn nation, and you have different new people groups coming in. You have conflicts of interest. You have different, you have varying, what's the word? Why can't I think of the word? Like cultures, varying interests, and you have, you know, one political group vying for power, basically bolstering and inflaming the passions of one group, maybe the immigrants. And then you have like another political group vying for power, who are bolstering and trying to gather the support of the citizens. And then you have conflict, and then you can have unrest. Whatever happens in the United States is going to happen. It's basically an act of God that he's allowing these people to come into our country, because the Bible says that God even sends strangers to devour the lands of people as a punishment. I'm not saying that, I'm not saying like if you're an immigrant, you were sent by God to punish us. But what I'm saying, this is a Bible principle. And when you see faces of nations changing and millions of people coming into a world or coming into a nation, the face of the nation is going to change, and that's something that God has allowed. That's not something that's, you know, God rules in the affairs of men, and God knows and allows these things to happen for whatever reason. So here's the thing, they're coming, whether I like it or not, and I don't dislike it, but a lot of people do dislike it. They're coming. Therefore, you know what I want to do? I want to understand that I was also a stranger and a pilgrim. I am a stranger and a pilgrim, and so I want to win them to Christ. And instead of just having this Americana apple pie culture that's just this clean-cut, all-American look, but void of God, and just, oh yeah, American values, but we're still getting farther and farther away from God and hating God. No, I'd rather seek out anyone who's in my country, sojourning among me, red, yellow, black, and white, they're precious in his sight. I want to win them to Christ. I want to assimilate them into a Christian culture. That should be our goal, is to assimilate, help them assimilate into a Christian culture, not just to come and learn English and about democracy. I want to teach them that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, that democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. and teach them the Bible. And I want the face of my nation, I want God to use this for good, to bring humble people over from other nations, nations that I can't travel to. And instead of me having to go to all these nations to preach the gospel to every creature, God is actually allowing them to come to us so we could seek them out and preach the gospel. That's the spiritual reality of immigration. So what's the spiritual reality? The political reality is that, yeah, immigration in a carnal sense, it's not good for a nation, it's mass immigration. It changes the face of a nation. It tends towards conflict, it tends towards war, and it tends towards crime. But you know what? The spiritual reality is they're coming, and there's a lot of them. You know what I want? I want to learn to speak their language and preach to them. You say like, oh man, they should learn English. They don't know English. They come over here. Yeah, they should learn English. You should learn to speak the language of the country you're living in. But you know what? Instead of just getting all bent out of shape about that, I want to learn their language. I want to learn Spanish and preach the gospel to them. And you know what? It opens doors. I've been able to communicate and preach the gospel to Portuguese-speaking people because I've been learning to speak Spanish. So I used to have no means of communication with Spanish or Portuguese people. But now when I run into Portuguese people, I don't speak Portuguese, but basically we have a basic common understanding of Spanish, so we can communicate in Spanish. That's the kind of thing I want God to do and to use. And I don't want to sit there and just, you know, fill my mind with Tucker Carlson's talking points. I actually like Tucker Carlson for many different reasons. But when it comes to the spiritual reality, don't let your political opinion blind you towards the fact that, wow, God is allowing all these nations to come here. Let's win them to Christ, because often these people they've traversed, you know, night and day through deserts and just dry spells and heat and thirst and hunger, and they've had to, you know, live in like uncomfortable quarters and go through a lot to come here, and they're often very humble for that reason. They appreciate being here often. And so I'd rather find that guy and talk to him in his language than, you know, basically the American third or fourth generation who's just full and his soul doesn't need anything and he doesn't want to seek God, but he has an American flag and, you know, he's got Vietnam veteran on his hat. I'm more interested in helping these immigrants, you know, thwarting the devil's plan to just make them a tool for the left or something, or a tool to destabilize the United States, and preach them the gospel and bring them onto the winning side.